you for joining us for the Help for Wounded Spirits broadcast. We exist to help those wounded and suffering through life's trials. Here is our host and best-selling author, Doug Carriger.
Great to be back with you. We certainly hope this finds you well and in the arms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He alone is worthy. He alone is the reason we connect together during this broadcast, the reason you tune in your local radio station. We're thrilled about that. And Kevin's still down there south, not south of the border, but close. He's down there in Florida. And how's things going, Brother Kevin?
It's going good. Florida is a beautiful place today. I was just looking out the windshield, which is my bay window out the front, my big picture window, and the leaves are in spring mode. Unfortunately, the pollen's in spring mode, but we won't linger there. Doing well here.
Oh, that's great. I had to use some of my Flonase again this morning and spray it. You know, when you get old, you know certain names, you know certain things. And I used to have this preacher who used to go around telling people. I remember years ago, we're going to be talking today about the word separation. And I remember this. We were out one night, this old preacher and I, an old seminary professor from years going by in New York. He was a Bible Institute that I did. I did Bible College Seminary and Bible Institute in there somewhere before Bible College. But anyway, while I was doing this Bible Institute thing, I had this professor. His name was Thompson. He died at 99 years old, a World War II veteran, a hero, wonderful guy, a deacon at our church. The pastor we went to didn't have enough respect for him. But he used to go around. I remember one day we were talking to a lady, and the lady said, she said, "I just love the world," is what she said to Brother Thompson. We were talking about the Lord and things going on in your life. And Brother Thompson looked at her and said, "We're only one letter away from each other." And she looked at him and said, "Well, what do you mean?" He says, "I just love the word." And, you know, trust in God being separated. I never forgot that. And for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That very familiar Romans 8. You could get lost in Romans 8 for the rest of your life. And then we're reminded in Titus, in that little pastoral epistle, that thing will mess you up over in chapter 3. It says, "A man that is a heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject." Kevin, that kind of says it all, doesn't it? It says, you know, there are some people out there. There's just, and folks, we're not saying that they're done with God. What we're saying is we can't be around heretics that take us to a different place from being persuaded about death, life, angels, principalities, powers. We don't go there. We know what God's word says. We know the Holy Spirit of God has sealed our hearts. We're told in Proverbs to walk with wise men, because wise men shall be wise. It reminds us, I think, being a companion of fools shall destroy you, or something like that. Don't have it sitting in front of me. But friends, when it comes to separation, it began in the Garden of Eden. God said, "You can have this, everything here. Name the animals. Have a good time. But that tree over there, you see that one? That's mine. Stay away from it. That belongs to God. I'm God. Stay away from it." And boy, Adam and Eve got it all wrong. And I want you to know that since that day, that pride, that nasty old serpent, that crazy things that are going on, they're still sneaking in, Kevin. That sin, that original sin. Boy, every day we have to say, "No, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels. I'm not going down that road." Because there are a man or a woman that's a heretic, after the first or second admonition, you get rid of, you reject them.
Yeah. Bible says, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways."
Yeah.
And get a snare to thy soul. So separation has a negative connotation, but really it's for our good. You know, a guardrail separates me from a ledge on the road, and a fence separates me from things on the outside that want to come in. You know, wolves separate the sheep. I mean, the fence separates sheep from the wolves. So fences you know, separation, just, you know, division lines, divisions, you know, it's a bad word if it's divisive unnecessarily, but if it's lest we get a snare to our soul, then we're talking about it's for our good. And that's what I want. I want the stuff for my good. I don't want narcissists to come in and give me some kind of a phony separation, like, okay, stop talking to your, you know, someone marries my daughter and says, stop talking to your dad, stop talking to your moms, you're going to listen to me only. And they, you know, they groom them in a cultic separation, That's not the kind of separation we want, but God's separation, like you said, Doug, is for our good. And that's the blessing of the whole thing. There's a verse that I looked up here. You know, separation is throughout the scriptures. In the very beginning, God separated the light from the darkness, and he called the light day, and the night he called good. And that was the, you know, at the end of the first 24-hour day, all that he said was good, but he had to separate the light. And the darkness is absence of light. And what we want to do is we want to have the presence of God. So I want to just grow in grace in a way that I am jealous of things that would take me away from God. I'm like, don't you dare do that. Because I know God's that way, much more so. He's saying, don't do that. You're going to get a snare to your soul, and it's taking your time away from the main thing, and that's time with me. I'm the fountain of joy, peace, life. Everything you're looking for in this other person, you're getting away from it, and I think it hurts the heart of God. It's the desire of God, yeah, to separate us from our sin. Jesus was born, and it says, thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted as God with us. And it says, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So it's talking about separate them from their sins. It says in Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So basically, God is good and holy only, and the absence of that has to be eradicated. And he gave his son to wash people off, away from their sins, separate them from their sin. And unfortunately, the people that will not be washed, that trod underfoot this wonderful thing called the blood of Christ and reject the plan of salvation, there's no alternative but to go into eternity not separated from their sins, so God will have to eradicate them with their sin. And Jesus said, ye shall seek me, and ye shall not find me, and ye shall die in your sins. So if you go through life in sin, you'll be like the thief on the cross who died in sin and went to hell. But if God washes you from your sins, if you're separated from your sin by the blood of Jesus, God can let you into heaven. And then on the way there, hallelujah, we get to make little decisions every day. You know what? I don't think I want to do this anymore. I don't like this. This person's not a good influence on me. And this is a good influence on me. So I'm going to make a distinction. I'm going to discern between the bad and the good. I'm going to make a move toward the good. And God always blesses that. I mean, that's where we get the joy, Doug. That's where all the peace comes from that we're really looking for. And trying to get that only goes along with this separation thing.
Yeah, this is and you know, so many people look at separation as a bad thing. And part of that is the way we've always done things in our country, in the military, and all those things. You know, like if I'm raising a child, one of the things I didn't want to do with my kids is when I was raised and brought up, people would say things to me like, don't go beyond the fence in the backyard. And, you know, we end at the fence. This is our yard. It ends at the fence. Don't go beyond the fence. Well, what really helps us as parents, as people, as human beings, is we say, you know, don't go beyond the fence, because if you do, this is going to happen. Because if you go beyond that fence, and we as Christians, we need to nail that. We're separated. There's things we don't do. You know, I don't drink, smoke, or chew, and I don't hang around with others who do. And the reason I don't do that is because drinking, the more that goes in me, the more God goes out. Besides that, God's word tells me not to. I can see it. I can read it to you. I don't smoke because it's bad for my lungs. It's bad for my body. And it can cause cancer. And I don't want to be part of that. I don't chew because I had a soldier work for me whose teeth fell out of his mouth. He smelled all the time like one of the most vile smells you ever smelt in your life. This guy had more holes in his teeth than you, folks, than you see in a drain of a kitchen sink. And, But I don't do that, and I tell people why I don't do it. And I think when separation comes along, we owe the wise out there. God always tells us why. Don't do this. Don't hang around with an unwise man, because you'll be with a companion of fools, and you're going to be destroyed. God gives you the answer. He says, listen, this equals destruction. You don't want to be destroyed. You don't want destruction. No, you want the other side of that. Can I tell you what's more fun than serving God and being right and having a great family? Nothing. Hey, we'll be right back.
Return shortly. Meanwhile, you're hearing this music while radio stations are identifying themselves and broadcasting advertisements.
What an honor it is to serve God as we continue on verse by verse, exegetical study of the life of Christ. We continue to find ourselves in the book of Matthew in the Olivet Discourse and talking about, his God. And he's standing up there in the Mount of Olives, and he's teaching classes that we're learning from 2,000 years later. And he's talking about end times, or eska, end. And then ology, the study of end times. And we look here, and it says, in starting in verse number 20, chapter 25, verses 31 through 33, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the angels with him, and shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. So we always know when the Bible says he's putting something on his right hand, that's the good group right there. And so he's separating the sheep from the goats. So we get this idea that he's separating the sheep, meaning righteous people, people who accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, from the goats, who are knuckleheads. And so Jesus, again, refers to himself as the Son of Man. I love that. It's a messianic title. We've seen it in the Old Testament. It was called he's sitting on the throne of glory. That's our God. He's gathering all nations, all people groups, representing all nations. There'll be a time where that man, it tells us in the book of Revelation, will do the judgment. And that man is Christ, our Lord and Savior. It tells us that also in the book of Acts, chapter 17. And we see that separation. So when we look at things, I want to remind you, how does the concept of a couple things that need to come to your mind? This is what I wrote down. I wrote these things down. How does the concept of Jesus returning in glory help you to understand and identify with our roles in our lives? And so for me, I wrote down a couple things. I wrote that I think, I'm prepared for the final judgment because I've accepted Jesus Christ. Folks, am I going to fail? You better believe it. Is Kevin going to mess up? Yep. Are you going to mess up? Sure. But it's the stand we take with God and say, if we take that step, we're going to stop it. You know, one of the things when you study world religions, both the Buddhists and the Muslims believe, if you look up with your eyes and you see nakedness of, let's say, a girl for those of you who are men, or a guy for those of you who are gals, and you look up at nakedness, if you look away, you're okay, you haven't sinned. Well, God's saying we separate ourselves, don't put ourselves in that situation to see that. But boy, if we do, we got to give that to God right away, don't we? And so I think this passage challenges me. It challenges me to reflect on what's going on in my life. What choices do I make? What choices, you know, and how are those choices affecting me and my relationship with God? And here's the tough thing, Kevin. How are the choices I make affecting those people I love, my neighbors, the people I'm around, the person who makes me that cup of coffee at the store, the person who makes me that sandwich? How do the choices I make and being separated from God affect them? Well, separation always leaves you on the right side.
Yeah, if you're separating for the right reason, like Jesus told us, you know, it says, holiness unto the Lord. I was thinking about that the other day. I think I heard something on the radio or something, you know, on Rejoice Radio or something. It was just the idea. It arrested my attention because holiness and separation are maligned today because of misuse of it. And of course, people are throwing out the baby with the bathwater. But the reality is, true holiness is separation unto the Lord, or holiness unto the Lord. And because we're being holy for the Lord, that causes a thirst in other people, don't you think? That when they see that there's something that means enough to us that we humbly do this. Now, there are, again, if it's not holiness unto the Lord, what an example would be someone who says, you know, there's a verse that says, stand thou afar off, for I'm holier than thou. That's Pharisaical. So that's separation unto the self. Lord, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. I give tithes of all that I possess. I fast twice a week, and this, and I'm not even like this publican. And but the publican lifted up his eyes, would not lift his eyes up and to heaven and say, God be merciful to me, a sinner. So the two different starting points there of holiness, one is humility and one is pride. And we have holiness under the Lord. And when we do that, like you were saying, Doug, we've got then almost magnetism in some fashion. Now, it's a magnetism with its two poles. You know, magnets repel if you've ever tried to stick north to north, but magnets will attract. And so we do repel people of darkness. We do repel people that hate God, and that's natural. And that's, the Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. How can light have fellowship with darkness? He that believeth with an infidel, don't do it. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my daughters, sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And that's 2 Corinthians, I think, chapter 6. But that same decision is done because we're like, you know what? I'm tired of trying to attract the things that are repelled by me doing right. Instead, I'm going to flip my magnet around to God, and I'm going to let the repulsion, let the chips fall, let the repulsion. You know what? These people that want me to dress and like I'm a slutty person, you know, guess what? I'm going to start dressing honorably and let them say, ew. Well, if they think that is ew, then guess what? That's the kind of separation that Doug's talking about. So if you're having to make some choices, just flip the magnet around. The choices will make themselves. Then you'll find out that people, even lost people, they'll test you for a while, and they'll try to force, you know, a magnet up against you, you know, pull north to north. But if you follow what I'm saying, go ahead and just flip the magnet around, attract those that God is dealing with. I have to tell myself this because, like Doug said, I mess up on this because we all want to attract everybody. Everybody, yeah, wants to like, I want everybody to like me. God said, nope, come out from among the infidels that you are trying to attract. Give it up. It's hard for you to do it. You know, just let the chips fall. When the dust settles, you'll find that there are people that say, I want what you've got because it's not about you. It's about this Savior that you must really like.
Yeah. And you know, in the carefulness in which we you know, with much intrepidation. I don't want to be that Amish person. I don't want to be that Mennonite that covers things. I don't want to wear special Mormon underwear. I don't want to bring my life to a point of craziness. Yeah. And they used to sell that Mormon underwear. I bought some one time at wintertime. I thought it was Long John's, brother. So I'm in the gym and this guy's like, I didn't know you were a Mormon, brother. I'm like, what are you talking about? I just have, you know, long undergarments on. And he said, those are Mormon covers. And I'm like, whoa. So, but I still wore them to keep me warm. But anyway, if we're not careful, people will look at us as that kind of thing. That's why I always explain to people. People say, Doug, you know, I had a guy tell me one time, you know, how much do you tithe? He knew I was a sergeant major. He knew I had a bunch of special duty pay. He knew Debbie had a good job. And I told him, you know, 10% of everything and even more. And then I give sacrificially to missions. I trust God. I'm all in. And he said, boy, you'd have enough to buy 2 brand new cars every month with what you guys are giving. Even more, you'd have your car payment. And I'd say, but this is why I do it. This is what God has done in my life. And boy, you ought to see people's faces change when you say, this is why. You know, hey, Doug, don't go beyond that fence. And this is why. Try living that life. Man, it changes things. Try telling your partner, hey, I don't do that because of this. And man, watch what God does in their life when truth and honesty and separation all show up together. We sure do love you, folks. Come on back. We're going to be talking about identification tomorrow. You don't want to miss that. May God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast. At Help for Wounded Spirits, we believe the Bible and place great importance on you having a personal relationship with your Lord and Savior. The Bible delivers a clear and simple message of salvation, outlining how you can begin your personal relationship now. First, recognize that you are a sinner, as all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, understand that there is a cost to our sin, as the wages of sin is death. Third, realize that Jesus alone paid that price. To receive salvation, simply ask the Lord to save you in Jesus' name while believing in your heart that He alone can save you, and He will. If we can help you with your salvation or to direct you to a local church, please do not hesitate to contact us. For additional helpful resources, including our new TV series, more information, or to donate and support this crucial ministry, please visit us at woundedspirits.com. May God bless you.